Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bench and Bass Podcast. As always, this is Bench.
Oh, boy, Bench, and this is Bass. It's so good to be back. I had to dial down the mic again. You know me, getting a little too loud. But amazing Christmas break. It's a new year, 2024. It's great to be back in this warm booth. And, you know, we're usually sweating in here, but it's a little chilly outside. So it's finally nice to where we can enjoy the warmth of this booth together.
And check off your mandatory bingo card square of Colin talking about the weather. Start. People are listening to this all across the state, maybe all across the country, maybe all across the world, maybe. Nobody cares about the weather in Waco, Texas.
You just got to give the people a little intro to the environment, give them the setting, let them feel where you're at.
Wow, that's a great storytelling. I like how you're using those non-verbals too. It's a great, you know, what percent? I read somewhere the other day what percentage of communication is non-verbal. It's almost like 80 or 90%, I think.
And what does that say about podcasts? Why do people like want to scrap it all?
Well, I think some podcasts do have the video component, but I think the premise of a podcast is I look at it as you're driving to work or you're studying and you like want some background noise, but it actually in a more deeper podcast probably takes a higher level of mental strain to follow along. So I don't know if we fit the bill in that sense. But I was going to note that your nonverbal communication is now enhanced by a gold ring on your finger, Colin.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're getting close to graduation. It's exciting this semester. I mean, I don't like flexing the ring. Like, I don't wear it a lot off the campus unless it's a fancy event. But it's fun to have like the Baylor ring, and it's been my daily reminder as I put it on. Like, this is what we're shooting towards. And we're gonna walk across the stage. We're gonna get to, for a final time, walk through this campus for a few weeks. I was just talking to Dr. Dixon this morning at our breakfast, planning for our next Top Gun conference, that we'll only walk into the business school maybe 50 or 60 more times as a student. And like, that's sad, but it's also exciting. And she was like, this is a semester of roller coaster emotions, and that's okay. But like, keeping the end in mind is something I've been trying to do with this ring, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And 50 or 60, so no grad school in the cards for Colin Bass.
No, probably not. We're off to something big.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is, but it's going to be great.
We don't know what it is just yet, but when you get there, it's going to be awesome.
We heard you might be doing something a little extreme.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but I wanted to follow up on how the coffee was this morning, and I thought it'd be cool if you share what your big project is about.
Yeah. So with Dr. Dixon, you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah. So this semester I'll be working on one of the so I was talking to Dr. Dixon about like, how do I make the most of this last semester? I don't have any electives I'm fired up about. And she was like, have you ever thought about doing an independent study? And I just kind of shared like, no, but it sounded cool. It seemed like the people have done it in the past have gotten a lot out of it. And so she's invited me to do a study on the crossover of, I mean, I could study anything I wanted to, but what we kind of landed on that would be exciting for me would be the crossover between a depth of spiritual life, Christian, Judaism, Muslim, whatever it is that you submit yourself to, and submitting yourself to something greater than yourself spiritually, and how that can return a larger success in business. So I've started reading and skimming a lot of texts, and over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to read a couple books on like how these different religions all what the greatest leaders do within these religions to be successful in their business role, and going to end up doing a bunch of interviews and then planning out our future pro sales conference, maybe 25 or 26, to talk about spirituality in the workplace and how to go about that in a healthy way and how it can actually improve your success rate.
You going to go back to see it? 2025,
2026? Man, if I'm invited to come back, I'd love to be here for it.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of studying how to be prepared for the workplace has got me super excited for what's next, because like, I'm getting to study the things that are going to be useful to me here in about two or three months, I guess maybe 4 or 5 months, as we enter the workplace. And so that was something I kind of want to ask you about today, Benj. Like, how are you going about thinking of like going into the workplace? We're going to be stepping out of the super comfortable place of Baylor's campus. Maybe take yourself back to those high school days, stepping off the big dog on campus in high school to become a little fish in a big pond. Mm-hmm. How are you going about thinking about that?
Little bass in a big pond. That's hard to imagine.
Oh, man. Little minnow.
It's a good question, and I was thinking about it particularly the other day. I was sitting with the dean, or sitting close to him at the basketball game, and we were talking, catching up, what's in store for this semester. And, you know, he asked for me to remind him what I'm up to post-grad. I'm going into tech sales in Dallas. And then he said, how do you feel about all of it? I mean, you've done so much here and, you know, now moving on to the next thing, like, where's your head at? Where's your heart at? And I said, you know, I think I feel prepared for it. Not some sort of pun or ironic, because we had that event at the beginning of the year called Prepare Your Hearts for the Semester. But now, like, you look and you're in the same boat for a full-time role. And so I'm very excited for it. I do feel prepared, not just from like an academic standpoint as well, but at Baylor, where we go, and I don't know where you're listening or if it's like this wherever you go, but you're surrounded by a lot of high quality people who are constantly encouraging you. And I think I've talked about it before, almost like the peer pressure to do the right thing. There's obviously the faith-based foundation of going to school here. And so you're surrounded by people who iron sharpens iron in that sense. So I think I will definitely miss that. But I think, you know, you have an opportunity for your light to shine bright somewhere at Baylor, where everyone's kind of, or a lot of people are running the same race with you in your circle. But, you know, you're shining bright in a lot of lights. And so when you go out into the real world or full-time or corporate, whatever you want to call it, you know, not everyone has those same values. You're not going to find as easily those groups of people with the common interests. So your light can still shine bright, and it might actually stand out a little more among others, or the so-called darkness. So I'm not necessarily saying one way is better than the other, but I think to be prepared for that, like shining in the darkness, you know, we come from the right place of being built up for that. But it is going to be an adjustment when, you know, the overall community is a lot different. So that's how I would feel prepared in that sense.
Come on. Yeah. And rooting yourself in what you know is already good, and then shooting yourself towards what, like, to a place that's probably going to be challenging. Like, I think Baylor's good, but you can't stay here forever. It's kind of like Disney World. Like, it loses its luster after a while. Really great place, but the purpose of this place is to be sent out. And I was talking to Professor Rodriguez this morning. I got to have a little conversation with him, and he was talking about how his kids, they really struggled, like, coming out of school at the very beginning. Like, they live next to their friends, and they were, like, they had their whole squad of friends so close, and then they left school, and it's like, crap, we're all across the country now. What are we supposed to do? But they were lights in their own little place, and then they all came together for weddings, for friend events. He said in his own life, he's going back to high school and college reunions, and, like, these fires and these lights, like, they start to dim after a while, but then you can come back to this place where you're, like, reignited in that, to be sent back out to where you've been placed. Yeah, like, making the most of the time while we're here, but also acknowledging, like, yeah, it's kind of sad. Like, it will be sad to leave this great, beautiful place. But it's done. It's ran its course. It's done its purpose.
Yeah.
And it's not any good unless we go do something great.
Yeah. I love Professor Rodriguez. I'm glad that was a good chat this morning, too. He always has, like, the best metaphors and energy that he brings. And I think that's a good way of looking at it, too. Like, there's always going to be events. And the good thing is, like, and not to look at this in, like, a selfish way or the wrong way, but when you're young, it's like there's all these reunions and get-togethers, and the next person's getting married, or, you know, someone else has a big birthday, or, you know, whatever it is. And then I think when you're older, like my grandpa, you know, he tells me this too, like, it's sad that whenever I see people, it's usually because we lost someone. So, you know, make the most of the time when you're young and you have the opportunities to get together with people. I think that's a pretty cool thing, and a good way to look at it too. And I was going to ask you this too, because I think I don't know if we've talked about it on here yet. I have a relatively lighter semester. I have a lot of free time, and I like it that way. I thrive in that setting usually, but I can't deny that it seems like there's a little bit generally less adrenaline going into school every day, or just kind of being a student on the campus. And I don't at all mean, like, that I'm not happy here, but to kind of to your point about the Disney World or whatever, where, like, you kind of start to realize, like, at some point, I got to go home, I got to move on. I feel like I'm kind of starting to feel that way now. And I think I've gotten creative with things to do, like new people to meet, new things to get involved in, getting more involved at work, et cetera. But at the same time, I'm like, I kind of feel like it's time for the next chapter.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think looking to what's next is becoming more exciting, because, I mean, talking to all, like, you're in 6 hours, right? Something, mm-hmm. And I'm in nine plus the study. And like most of our senior friends, they almost have nothing to do, so they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more free time, but nobody was making time to hang out or do fun mm-hmm. things right now. And it's like, what the heck's going on? But it is making, it's making the next chapter, I mean, a little bit more brighter and like looking forward to whatever's next. Now, is there anything that in this next chapter, Benj, that makes you nervous, or things that like you are anxious about that like you want to be able to figure out over these next couple months?
Yeah, I would say figuring out independence. I think I will probably stay at home with my family until I kind of get under my feet with my job. So, you know, that's certainly a blessing to have that option to be able to do that. But doing that while also having my own independence and doing things for myself and like finding a church post-grad, I think would be somewhere atop the list, if that answers your question. I don't know. Yeah. Do you feel one way or the other on that? Or
I get that as well. I think those are things that I'm not even to yet because I haven't signed. Mm-hmm. But that is exciting. You mentioned the finding a church in the future, and then I know like both of us want to grow a lot in our faith this semester. Like, what advice would you share maybe for our listeners, or how are you going about that this semester that is gonna form you and shoot you towards that? I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but just to
to recap on our impromptu dinner. Usually Friday is our scheduled Colin and Benj meal, but it inadvertently happened last night. I told you last night too, praying out loud has helped and made a difference, and then going through different plans in terms of, you know, like reading a chapter from a book consistently every day, and then additionally reading a plan of kind of how I'm feeling. So like the last one I finished was anxiety in the workplace, and I know that's crazy because I'm not working yet, but I think I just put myself in this thought of like 7 months from now I could be so stressed out, what is that going to look like? So I just went ahead and read about it now, like what does scripture say about that particular thing. So and part of that too is like I really like the I do like topical teaching. I know there's kind of like within the church, there's the debate between topical or expository teaching. Like, is it best to read through a chapter, go through it verse by verse, or is it best to kind of talk about a hard-hitting topic that really gets people engaged? And I like both. So in my study, I've kind of started to lean towards doing both. And then something I'm looking to improve on, and it's funny because you just pulled out your notes, it's actually documenting it, because sometimes I'll just read through it. I'll be in a hurry at night or in the morning and be like, what did I read about again yesterday? So those are like some practical things I've been doing.
I love that. And documenting is kind of what like helps you remember it to begin with. Yeah. Like for me, whenever I'm writing it down, like it's so I can visually see it in my head later. And I think I'm in the same boat where I want to grow in a lot of those ways this year as well. Reading's a big thing for me. I want to be able to read a handful of books this semester and this year. And then also something that like spiritually, like praying about the end and inviting the Lord into this final stage is something that's important to me. And I was talking to Father Finch yesterday, and one of the big pieces of advice that he shared was the idea of a proactive closure. And so he said this was the best piece of advice he's ever been given on the idea of closure. And he was saying that like inviting the Lord into your final days of anything is good. Final days of a job, final days of a season, final days of college, whatever it is. But those people who are important to you and the people in your life who have formed you during that time and place, being able to say, hey, this is not going to be the last time I see you, maybe while I'm here, or hopefully not in my life, but I want to intentionally sit down with you and just thank you for the influence you've had on my life, and like pray about that and like pray for this person. And he said that he always likes to accompany it with like a very like thought out and prayerful note and saying like thank you for your mentorship, thank you for leading me here. And that's another thing I think I'm thinking about inviting the Lord into this semester, mm-hmm. of saying like, hey, these 5 to 10 professors and peers have been super influential in my own journey. And I just want to sit down and say like, hey, thank you for being here. I'm not going to see you every day anymore. You might live across the country, or you're still going to be here at Baylor and I'm going to live across the country, but like, thank you. And so that's another idea that I thought was pretty interesting that Father Finch shared with me yesterday.
Proactive closure. Sounds like a good episode title for this one.
Proactive closure, baby, come on.
I love that. Yeah, I'm just like, And it kind of makes me think of the silly example of when you go out to eat or whatever and you say bye to your friends and then you realize they're parked in the same direction and you're like, oh, well, this is awkward. That's like a proactive, as he says, way of doing it. This could be the last time I see you. Maybe it's not, but just nevertheless wanted to say this. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Speaking of proactive closures, you said you were gonna drive this episode today. So is there anything you're hoping to get across before we land the ship here proactively?
No, Benj. That's a whole lot of what I've been thinking about, praying about, and like where this semester is going to take us. One thing, I'm going to put you on the spot here, so no pressure. But I want to hear like the craziest memory from the break and something the Lord kind of taught you from it. And I'm putting you on the spot, so I'm going to keep stalling for just a second here so you can pull something out.
In this moment, I was on the spot, too. It was my brother's wedding.
Oh, no.
And I think I told you this, but bless his heart, like he was pretty worked up about the whole day. He was pretty nervous, and he started getting, you know, sick. So
yeah, he had the flu or something too, right?
This something like that too, as well. And then he got like this emergency teledoc appointment, and the guy was so cool on the phone. He's like, yeah, just let your best man handle the medicine, just stuff it in his pocket. And so like I really took that to heart. Like I had all these different this assortment of things I had for him. And, you know, before I knew it, like, I'd never really been in a wedding before, so I didn't realize, like, you kind of go into your holding room in the church, because it was in a church, and then, you know, you just kind of go, and it just happens.
Almost like a big sales meeting or something.
Yeah, life is sales, right? Even your wedding day. And so I had all these things in my pocket, and then during the rehearsal the night before, no one told me. And I should have known this. I guess I'm new to the whole wedding thing, but at Baylor, there's plenty of time to get your wedding experience. I think our refrigerator has like 100 invitations on it now.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
In any case, the wedding officiant said, okay, let's bring out the rings to the best man. I was like, I didn't know this part was happening. So I'm just like, okay, that's fine. It's like not hard. I'll just put it in my pocket. And then like later in the ceremony, they're like, okay, best man, get the rings out. So I was like, it took me, like you were there, you were watching, it took me a long time reaching my pocket because I had two rings in there, but I also probably had 8 or 9 different like pills. And I was like, I can't pull out any medicine. I can't drop the medicine. So that is something I'll remember forever, kind of the pressure and the high stakes of it. But I was like, oh, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, like, please don't, you know, get the wrong thing. But yeah, that would be my wildest one for you.
Come on. That's awesome. That's a good story. Poor Will. Glad it all went well. You were able to get through that little moment there.
I'm glad you were able to be there, Mr. Bass.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. But I guess we're coming close to time here. But any other final thoughts from you, Benj?
No, you know, go in peace to love and serve the Lord, to quote my guy Jed Avery, if he's out there listening.
Gotta love that guy. He's probably changing the world.
He is. We'll tell him he has to listen.
There you go.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for this one today. We've got a few more throughout the course of the semester and the future. Who knows? Who knows what Colin Bass is going to do? But that might be a factor in how much we continue doing this in the future. Might get even better. The best might still be yet to come.
Oh, TBD. It always is.
We'll see you next time, guys.
See ya.